Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. And today's guest is Kyle Smith. Welcome.
I'm Kyle Smith.
So you are the co-host, correct?
Yeah.
Of a show called Everyday Superhumans.
Mm-hmm. That's so correct.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. I can't wait for that. And right now we have a quick news article to talk about from NPR. This came out about a week ago, and it's entitled, "In an effort to get people to tune in, government agencies try podcasting." And that is no surprise to me. However, I guess it could be a surprise to other people.
About government agencies getting to podcasting?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not really surprising to me because that's kind of slightly our scope in the show. We talk to nonprofits, which are kind of tangentially related to mm-hmm. government and organizations. Mm-hmm. That's our category on iTunes is government and organizations. So I knew it existed.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I've personally worked with some government agencies that are customers of ours, and I've seen that uptick in the past year as well. So,
one thing that's kind of like a joke within the government, especially my day job is I work for the city of Austin, so I work a government job.
Ooh.
And like a common theme is that they're kind of slow for jumping on trends. Mm-hmm. Like my computer is like 10 years old. It should be like more recent. Yeah. It's BS sometimes.
I would imagine so.
But it doesn't surprise me that they're looking into it. Outreach is good.
Oh, definitely. We need more outreach. And I mean, at this point, by directly taking a stance and getting your information from the source mm-hmm. of the organization mm-hmm. as opposed to a news outlet, I think that is appealing to quite a few people because I am sick of hearing the term fake news on a regular oh my basis. God, yeah.
Although that being said, I get most of my news from Colbert and John Oliver, which are not really the most unbiased sources.
No, they're yeah. certainly not unbiased. Yeah. However,
I'm on my way to work though.
This is, you know, this could be by more government agencies doing this, that could mm-hmm. be that unbiased opportunity to get that information.
Yeah, and something I found interesting in the article is that they talked about different agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And NASA has one, which I heard about recently, the Houston We Have a Podcast.
Yes, I love that name.
Yeah, that's a great name. And what is it? The EPA has a podcast too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are completely different things.
Oh, yeah.
But I found that really interesting that like every department, well, not every department, that's a bunch of them, but a good amount of them are like working on it. I'm surprised NASA didn't get one earlier because NASA's like mainstream for a government agency.
I know, you would think so, but you're right. You make a good point that diverse agencies and organizations are doing this, not just, you know, one that you might think of right off the bat, such as NASA. And they talked about how there's so many different platforms of where to get your news now that this is another way, that this mm-hmm. is certainly falling into that trap. But this could be, you know, a positive part of that trap.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we were recently in the podcast awards and we were actually against the Department of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising to see that Veterans Affairs has a podcast. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool that they're doing this a lot more. And as a government employee, I think it's great to have this kind of outreach.
I think so, too.
But I do have, I guess, a slight issue with this.
What's that?
Podcasts tend to be niche.
Yes.
And you're not going to reach a broad audience if you are doing a niche.
That is.
And that's like true. You're like Dan Carlin, who makes history fun, or like Joe Rogan. I actually never listened to him, but I know he has a huge presence.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's like the EPA just kind of sounds boring to somebody who's just like, whatever. I see their labels on stuff sometimes.
Right. I am very interested in the NASA one. However, I mean, I haven't listened to it. I have no idea if I'm actually going to be able to understand what they're talking about in any of this. I think space is amazing. I think, mm-hmm. you know, that we should help fund NASA and all of the good things to them. However, I don't know if I'm going to have any clue what the heck they're talking about and if that podcast is going to interest me.
Yeah. And like anybody who listens to podcasts tends to have like a huge list of podcasts they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't listen to all of them. They listen to like the ones that they have interesting. Like I have like on my podcast list, I have like Stuff You Should Know, which I listen to every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also have Nerdist, which I listen to episodes that have guests I care about.
Yes, that's so do I.
And I think that like that's going to be the difficulty with these government organizations getting a podcast going is that unless they have like astronaut Scott Kelly, who just wrote a book on their podcast, it might be less likely that people tune in.
Yeah, so now I'm wondering, are they going to do things, like, are they going to do a series talking about a specific thing that they're going to get people in and, you know, teach them about it? Or is it going to be, like, the daily update? Like, this is what happened with the EPA today.
It, like, should not be that one. No. That's my piece of advice. It should not be that one.
No, because that's not going to go well.
Did you ever listen to the podcast Startup?
By
Gimlet Media?
By Gimlet, a couple episodes.
Okay, they had a follow-up episode to, like, how Gimlet's running about a year ago or so.
Oh, okay.
Where they actually talked about how the Department of Defense actually asked Gimlet to make a sponsored podcast for them. Mm-hmm. So this means that these agencies, at least the big ones, are aware that, like, good production equals more listeners.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, they
Gimlet turned them down, though, because they didn't want to do anything political.
I can see how that would come into play in their decision.
Yeah.
Especially if they had asked them last year during the election.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet, so it's not happening.
Yeah. So they said in the article that they're aware this is, I think they even said something along the lines of, like, amateur hour for talent in that sense. Because the types of government organizations that are available and potentially considering doing a podcast might not be employing the best talent for a podcast.
And the ones that get paid more, like the Department of Defense, they could definitely pay out, like, people that could do outreach for them.
Yes.
But meanwhile, like, the Department of Agriculture, they're not going to have as much funding, and all the funding they do will actually go probably towards their actual goals.
Yeah. I mean,
there's not enough time for a podcast.
I have some faith in these companies and, like, in these agencies to figure it out, though, because you think of companies like GE. Mm-hmm. They have a podcast. I don't give a crap about GE. Like, I don't have my own personal, like, dishwasher or washing machine. Like, that is my landlord's area of expertise. So, but they're talking about, like, they're making the content relatable, even though it's, they sell dishwashers.
So, I think GE sponsored a podcast by Panoply.
I always get it messed up too.
I follow them on Twitter. Panoply, yeah.
I believe that's it.
GE did that fictional podcast with them, The Signal.
Yeah.
Which was not even a GE product. I never listened to it, but I had a friend that did. And I just know it's like a mystery about, like, an alien signal that came to Earth.
See, now that I would care about. I care about aliens. I do not care about dishwashers.
Yeah, I think that the Department of Defense is onto something, though. Asking a professional production company to produce a podcast for you.
Yeah.
Like, what? On this article, I can't remember which organization. I'm just kind of scanning through it right now. They record it on their iPhone.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone mention that, too.
Which is, I guess, a good start just to get the ball rolling, but you can't keep it up like that.
No. I understand there is a government budget. However, that can be stretched in certain ways. We're all aware of that.
That's true.
There's a lot of possibilities.
I do find it interesting, or since, like, my day job is engineering, but my hobby is podcasting, they're like two different fields. My day job is a lot more secluded, and I'm, like, in my office working on interesting problems, while podcasting is a lot more outreach based. So I've been thinking about ways to combine working for the city and what I know as a city employee to, like, do better outreach for the city, or at least for the infrastructure of the city, because that's what I do infrastructure engineering.
Okay.
So I was like, how do you make infrastructure fun? And I can't find a way to do it yet. I just can't.
You're trying, though. That's a good start.
I thought about it. I played with the idea in my head for a while, but I don't feel like I have the right amount of, like, podcasting expertise to, like, go the way I want to go with it.
To, like, turn it into a story in that sense.
Yeah.
Instead of this is X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, make it more like Serial or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
I only have so many hours a day.
I know. Okay, so we're talking about, okay, that's actually a really good segue into your show, Everyday Superhumans. So tell us how this got started, because it's a show about highlighting people in your community that are striving to make the community better.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. The idea behind the show was we want to highlight the people that aren't like Bill Gates, mm-hmm. that are also saving the world, or at least making the world a better place. Mm-hmm. So we decided to start. Okay, so let me rewind time 2 years ago. Okay. 2 years ago, actually, I think as of yesterday, 2 years ago, is when the idea came to us.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah, it's been great. Me and my co-host, Charlie, we met in Louisiana originally. Mm-hmm. We met through a running club, and we're currently based in Austin, Texas. But me and Charlie, we used to hang out a lot after work, kind of get drinks at a local craft beer bar in Houma, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And one day, though, we felt dead-ended at our jobs, and we didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So instead of just complaining about it, we were like, what can we do that's productive that could like encourage people to go out there and actually like do the work they want to do? So originally we started talking to small business owners and nonprofit directors, people that we just saw were doing good for the community. Actually, the craft beer bar that we met at a lot, we interviewed the owner of that because he was the first craft beer bar owner in that small town in Louisiana.
Cool.
Like the town was like 30,000 people and this guy brought craft beer there. I was like, this guy's awesome. I love craft beer. So we'll talk to him. We started talking to 50/50 nonprofit and business founders. And after a while, we just kind of realized that we like speaking to the people that were kind of like focusing more on like giving back to the community despite the no profit. Mm-hmm. And we focused on them instead. That actually happened once when we already moved to Austin, which is a different story. Well, not different, but Charlie got a job here in Austin, which is my favorite city and the entire South. I love the city so much. Mm-hmm. He got a job here. I was jealous of that. So I started applying for jobs here. And like 3 months later, I ended up getting a job for the city. He's like, wow, that was easy.
That worked out well.
Well, yeah, it was great. We decided to start the podcast up again here. We spoke to one of the biggest animal shelters here in Austin. And after that, we're like, you know what? That was a really fun interview. Let's just focus on nonprofits after that.
Yeah. I like that you realized what you liked about it and actually just changed the show into that instead.
Yeah, it was nice. We chose our name to be a little bit flexible, but still kind of guest-based and like positive-based, yes. Which is why it's called Everyday Superhumans.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like business owners of South Louisiana.
That's a little bit of a hard right turn to, switch gears.
Hey, now we're in Austin, Texas, talking to nonprofits. Yes. This is business owners of South Louisiana.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't work that way. So it was nice that we chose like a very flexible name to work with.
I just recently got back from Austin, Texas for my first visit ever, and I was a huge fan.
Was it ACL?
Yes, I was.
Which weekend?
I went for the first weekend.
Oh, me too.
Did you?
We may have watched Patsy Cheer and I didn't know it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went. We got there on Thursday for, an extra day, and then both left on a Monday night. So we got in quite a bit done, as well as the fest. So,
what else did you do in Austin?
Austin overall was very, very good to us. We met a lot of great people, had a lot of good food. Weather was great. So,
but yeah, Austin's the best. Did you go to the graffiti wall while you're here?
We did. So one of the people at the kayak place told us to go there. We went to a bunch of the murals, and my dad's favorite musician in the world is Stevie Ray Vaughan. So of course I went and got some pictures of that too. So
we actually did an episode with the art director of that graffiti gallery.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I knew the episode number off the top of my head. It's a Hope Graffiti. It's called the Hope Outdoor Gallery. That wanted to be called the Hope Graffiti Gallery because of bad branding.
Yeah.
But the director was really cool. Really laid back. One of the most laid back guests we've ever had. I guess going back to the themes of our show, like that entire place is a nonprofit. They don't make any profits over there. They just try to promote local artists.
See, okay, that is actually very interesting to hear because my friend and I were there and we were like, what? Like, who is involved in this? Is this just like a community thing? Like, because people were telling us like, yeah, they typically just kind of paint over it every month or so and give it a fresh start and do it all over again.
Yeah, I don't think of any. I think they even paint over everything. Like only certain walls they paint over.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some walls that have been like that forever, at least since I started going there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but it's a really cool place. If people listening haven't been to Austin, there's this place called the Hope Outdoor Gallery. And it's like three stories of like concrete walls that anybody could just go there with a spray can and spray whatever they want. There's some like really good art and like there's like some very like, I found a spray can. I'm just going to draw a stick figure kind of art.
Yeah, we saw that being done actively, the stick figures. But we climbed all over that thing and got a bunch of pictures. It was great.
I love graffiti art. So I find that place like very beautiful. It's like my favorite art gallery in here in Austin.
Yeah.
I love something about street art. It just feels like raw.
It was beautiful as a whole. And then you got to see the good and the bad once you actually started to look at it.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. Okay. Going back to your show. So you said you just told us who one of your favorite guests was, but you got this started from, you know, you moved it, you kind of changed it a little bit. And do you have any goals for it currently?
Right now, our main goal is to actually be established as like a official business or nonprofit.
Ooh.
Only for the sake of having like a newsletter we could do. So our goal is to move towards getting a newsletter, which requires having a permanent address or a P.O. box. So we're working on getting the P.O. box, but that won't happen until like maybe after December.
Okay. All right. Hey, that's not that far off.
Lately, I've been kind of like annoyed at like a lot of things in the news. I was talking to Charlie a couple weeks ago. I'm like, how come, like, I was walking through my office and like we had it on like some news station.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only showing clips of like the tragedies of like the fatalities of like, it wasn't the hurricane. It was some natural disaster that happened recently. But I just saw that and I was like, this is just like depressing. And I'm like watching this as I'm walking through the hallway of my work. This is terrible. I want to like showcase the people actually helping these people, not just them like getting rushed up, like not just like the fallen buildings.
Right.
Like it just like, I feel like that lately it's, I mean, it's, I guess this is just like me getting older. I guess I'm 25 and I'm already getting bitter at the world. But I'm just like, come on, just like show off the things that like people are doing, like people donating blood to like save lives or something like that, or like show, like talk to the EMT people that are saving these lives.
Right.
Like
the relief funds going into recreating infrastructure and community and whatnot.
And I thought like maybe in the actual news coverage, because this is like the teaser coverage, they might actually talk about that stuff, but the advertising was just straight up just like, what's wrong with the situation?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is annoying and hard to watch right now.
It makes you end up not wanting to watch it in the first place.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't be making millions of dollars on revenue if that was true. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, tragedy sells.
It does. It's tragedy, and I think more often, a lot of the time, fear.
Yeah, fear definitely sells. So that's like one of the goals of the show is like to promote those people that are actually helping. And like one thing I was thinking about for like the newsletter, once we get around to actually writing it, do like a monthly newsletter and do like superhumans of the world or something like that, and like showcase people in like different countries or states, like doing something good. Like write up like a short like 3-paragraph article maybe about them. Just to like showcase this. Because like we do it in Austin mostly because as I was saying before this interview, I don't like Skype interviews because it kind of come up as like a little bit complicated. And like as we saw earlier, Skype was down today.
Yeah, just completely failed us.
So we do exclusively in Austin, and it's Austin-based because my co-host and I are... we prefer just in person, and we're too lazy to figure out to do recording in Skype. So
I mean, if
in person,
right? If I was interviewing people in my city specifically, and I wasn't interviewing them in person, I would just have to reevaluate my podcast. I feel like.
Well, like if we didn't have like the Skype version, we probably would expand to different cities. But I think like keeping a niche in Austin has actually been very beneficial for us.
So, I don't know if you've been able to tell. Is your audience mainly Austin and Texas based, or is it kind of all over the place?
Yeah, if you go to our stats, it's mostly Texas based and somehow some in California. I don't know how.
Some Texas transplants, I guess.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But it's mostly just Texas based.
Mm-hmm.
Which I helped us get noticed by a local magazine that covers local stuff.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. You got some award that you mentioned briefly before. So how did that happen?
And
what was it?
Okay, so the first one we got was
from
Austin.
Oh, the first one. Okay.
Yeah, we got two, and I'm still skeptical about the second one. But the first one was from Austin Monthly. They're a local magazine that covers everything happening in Austin, like all the events here, all the people, personalities of Austin. And in March of last year, they published an issue called Surviving South by Southwest.
Yes.
And within it, they had a list called the Ultimate Podcast, or the Ultimate Austin Podcast List. Mm-hmm. And in it, we were like one of like 10 or 15 Austin-based podcasts that are featured in it. And like, we weren't even like the main featured one. We just were like maybe four or five down.
Yeah.
Like not on the bottom, but not on the top, just like somewhere in the middle. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, we were getting noticed by local publications.
Mm-hmm.
And then in July, I think it's July or June of this year, we get an email from one of the interns at the Austin Monthly that said, hey, we're doing an article that features you. Just wanted to know if these facts are correct and if you can answer a few more questions before you publish it. It's like, okay, cool.
Of course.
Maybe they interviewed somebody who like was on our show and they mentioned it to us and they just want to do some fact checking. Sure. We'll plug in that information.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, I get an issue of Austin Monthly in my mailbox. I'm not subscribed to this magazine. Like an issue of it in my mailbox. And it says Best of ATX on it. I was like, wait, what? No, it's like, we had to mention like in an offhand article. This can't be right.
It's so cool though.
But I was like, you know what? For fun, I'll just look at the best of lists and see like, if we're on there. And I saw that we were chosen as the best podcast of ATX of 2017. I was like, what?
Like, that was a good moment though.
Yeah, it was like, it completely validated what we're doing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Before that, it just was like a fun hobby. And I was like, wow, this thing actually has potential.
Especially in a city such as Austin that has so many organizations, so much known talent.
Yeah. We came here a year ago.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, a year later, we won an award. We're like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
That's kind of like the dream for a lot of podcasts out there.
And then last month, the podcast awards, which is like this...
Is that the one with Todd? With Todd Cochran?
I forgot the host's name. I applied to it about maybe 6 months ago because I was just looking for getting ourselves our names on the list for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for it, paid the small fee to enter. And then
That sounds like the one that's hosted by our CEO.
Oh really? Okay, well thank you.
I think it is. I didn't know that.
It could be. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, it's not technically Blueberry. It's just him, but okay, just you're him. Welcome.
Okay. Yeah, I just know that, like, I never really heard about them before until, like, I listened to an episode of The Beerist, which is an old, they're an other Austin-based podcast, so they review beer.
I like the name.
And they won the podcast awards last year for their category.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, an Austin-based podcast won this award. We got to compete with them now.
Yes.
Although we're completely different categories. I was like, we got to get on this list with them. We submitted our name to it. And then we found out, I think, was it? No, I wasn't at ACL. I was busy that night, though, whenever the actual awards happened.
It was a Saturday. It was the night of International Podcast Day. So like the weekend before.
Yeah, which date is it?
The 30th.
Oh, the weekend before?
September 30th.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I was busy that weekend. I can't remember what I was doing. But I remember that I woke up the next morning. And I can't remember what it was. I think my co-host actually sent me the link. It's like, we won. I was like, what? What is this happening? I still don't believe that we won the award because the Department of the VA was up against us. And like, going back to the topic earlier, I was like, this is a government organization. We just cover nonprofits and
Hold on. That's it.
We have to lose against them. Apparently, we won.
Confirm this for you rather quickly. We have a list from not that long ago because, you know, this wasn't really all that long ago. I'm going to find out for you.
Oh, yay.
I can't believe you got this and I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't look at, obviously, all of the winners for the thing.
It was a big surprise and it was great.
Yeah.
But we honestly were not expecting that one at all.
Yeah.
So, it's like, of all the award shows that we could have entered into, next to the Webbies, I'd expect us to not get anywhere in this one.
Government and organizations.
Yep.
There you are, man. So, yes, just to confirm again, you won a podcast award from us.
I think, you know, the imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I think, what we both have been feeling for like the past couple of months. Like, wait, why do we keep on winning this? We only get paid for this. Why are we winning?
So if you think you have imposter syndrome, what do you think you're doing right for the show? Because you're obviously doing something.
I don't know. I really think that keeping it very positive and keeping it Austin focused has been our biggest strength.
Yeah.
Like we try to be lighthearted as possible in the interviews. We want to have it fun for our guests. We tell them to speak their mind. We have like a we have fun questions we ask our guests, and then keeping it Austin based kind of automatically gives us a niche. Mm-hmm. So
it does.
I think that really helped on top of that. And then focusing on nonprofits, I was speaking to somebody this weekend who's a acting director of a nonprofit mm-hmm. that we were considering talking to, and we might speak to in the future. Mm-hmm. But she was really excited by the idea of like a podcast covering this sector because she felt like that podcasts aren't really within the sector that much.
There you go.
And I think that's like what's given us strength. And I grew up through the Boy Scouts. So I did a lot of volunteering growing up. So this kind of feels like I'm still volunteering.
Yeah.
I tried to volunteer for the nonprofits that we've spoken to, but I spend so many hours in this project that I just don't have time for that.
Right.
And like I use that time for ACL or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Something to unwind with.
Yes. So I know your focus, I mean, your niche is Austin and it's obviously working and it's a good thing for you. Do you ever think you'd be able to find an audience that is not Austin based, but still appreciates the show because it is based on nonprofits and the positive ideas and whatnot? Would you ever like try to
make that happen? Yeah, we actually recently removed the show about Austin based nonprofits from our taglines and descriptions because we're trying to we realized that it was a very specific tagline or description to have.
Yeah.
But it may have been too specific.
Gotcha.
So we removed that from our episode descriptions on our episode descriptions, our iTunes descriptions. Mm-hmm. And we changed our tagline from the podcast about Austin nonprofits to the show to restore your faith in humanity. But that's kind of like the gist that, or like we're working on the rebranding right now. And we're going to take a 2-month break of episodes soon.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit shorter or longer. We were planning doing 10 episodes a season. And then after we won the award of Awesome Monthlies, people have been like reaching out to us now for interviews. So we've been kind of been saying yes a lot to them.
That's cool. That's really cool.
It's nice to be on the other side.
Yeah, heck yeah, where you're not, you know, emailing random people that have never heard of you and you're like, please come on our show.
Yeah, so now people like are reaching out to us. Like, actually, We Are Blood, they're the largest blood bank in Central Texas. Mm-hmm. They have like this PR firm they work through, and they reach out to us to do an interview with them. I was like, wow, this would never happen if we didn't win this award.
That's awesome.
And so it's nice to be on the air side, but we're just trying to like diversify like the audience that this could go out to through like Google searches or like just iTunes searches.
Yeah, it's amazing how much SEO can affect how well your show does.
You do not know how excited I am if I search for the nonprofit we spoke to and like we're on the front page of Google. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's something to be excited about. You're doing it well.
I think our new episode was like the first in a while that if you search for the nonprofit name, we are on the front page of Google. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Jamie Group, which is a really fascinating vaccine advocacy group.
Okay.
It's founded by this woman named Jamie Shanaban. Mm-hmm. And she lost both of her legs to meningitis. And she did it, it's all because she wasn't vaccinated.
Ouch.
So ever since then, she's been like a huge advocate for vaccines. Mm-hmm. And actually, her and her mom managed to pass a bill here in Texas that requires all incoming college students to get meningitis vaccines.
Hey, I had to get mine. I happily got mine.
Yeah. It sounded really tragic, but she had like a really bright attitude. Like, she was optimistic. She had a lot of great stories. It was one of those interviews I didn't want to end.
Yeah. How long are your episodes on average?
We record for about 45 minutes to an hour, mm-hmm. and we try to cut down to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Try. That doesn't always work. It's been lately more like 35.
Would you ever do like a one part and a second part?
Not yet. Although we have an upcoming episode that might be that way. It's untread waters for us, the entire format for this episode. But you know the podcast Reply All?
Yeah.
We want to do an episode kind of like them where like one of the hosts usually reports on one story and then talks to the other host and gets like their legitimate reactions off of it. So that's the plan is I'm about to take this really big trip soon. I'm going to be spending most of my time on the plane looking for sound bites and just getting those ready and possibly outlining the episode. And then we'll get together after I get back to discuss what I wanted to discuss and then put in the legitimate reactions and the people that we spoke to, like their sound bites.
I really enjoy that format.
Like, yeah,
personally, I think it works well because you relate to it even more, because a lot of the time, whenever that person is genuinely reacting, you are too.
Yeah.
So why did you guys decide to do seasons?
Because it could get overwhelming at times, and we're traveling a lot right now. Actually, I made the request to have no interviews record throughout the month of October or November, despite having just recorded an interview last week.
And this now.
That's our last one for the season, is what we're calling it.
Okay, good.
It just gives us like a mental break and gives us time to like reformat, think of like ways to like rebrand, or like so far between each season, we've changed a website. It lets us to focus on like on the smaller things that we don't think about.
Oh, that's cool. That's a really good time to do that.
Between seasons one and two, we got a new logo, which I reached out to a friend of mine who's a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. He designed it for us. Between two and three, that was not as long of a break, but I think we mostly focused on like rebranding the website a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then also getting like higher profile guests. And then we got that, and then guests started coming to us. But our main goal right now, and I really want this to happen, is to get the mayor of Austin on our show as our first episode of the next season.
That'd be a big one.
He's appeared on a show about queso, so I think he'll appear on a show about doing good.
I would hope so. Yeah. I mean, queso is like good for the soul, but still.
There's this show here in Austin called I Love Queso So Much. Which is a play off the famous I Love You So Much wall.
Yeah, that I saw last week. Yeah.
Yeah. We love them. So hopefully we'll be able to get him by December for an interview.
I think you can do it. You have like a month and a half until the beginning of December. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
If you could wrap up your show, you know, what it is about, what you like about it, and how you've learned in podcasting since you started, what would that be? That's a terrible question, but do it.
Okay. Well, I learned about podcasting as I knew nothing except for being a fan of shows before I started it. Uh-huh. I was like, I really like podcasts, and Charlie never listened to a podcast, but Charlie had a film degree and like was interested in doing more media work.
Surprising they had never listened to a podcast though.
Oh, was it?
That was surprising that he had never listened to a podcast.
Yeah, I was surprised too. And he worked at a newspaper before this too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, sticking with the old media, not going to the new media just yet.
I suppose so.
Yeah. We started where I knew nothing about anything regarding podcasting. Mm-hmm. It took us 2 months. We worked 2 months in pretty much secret, not telling anybody about the show. Because like we thought, hey, if we tell people about the show, we're going to just get like excited talking about that, and we might never get anything done. Keeps it bottled up.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest lesson that I learned about starting a new project.
And then when you actually do release it, it's really exciting.
Yeah. And like one of my friends, I told it to him, and he checked out the first episode. We released two episodes at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we wanted to get like kind of the Netflix effects. Like,
oh, yeah. People really into it. I do that.
We released two.
I do that for shows that I start.
Yeah, it's a great strategy. He's like, I know, like, if I listen to a show I really like, I'm like, oh shit, I need to go find another episode I really like. Yes. Like, scroll through the feed. I'm like, download.
Yes.
So like, I wanted to get that same effect. And a friend of mine called me like a couple of days afterwards, like, wow, you actually made like a real podcast, like with the music and the logo and everything. He's like, yeah, we want to do this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the biggest thing I learned at the beginning was keep it quiet, because it makes it exciting. But also, podcasting is a lot of work when you first start a show. You got tons of things you got to do.
It's very stressful at times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I lost sleep.
Yeah.
One thing I learned also with the show was with our graphic design, mm-hmm. is that coming from engineering background, I only knew to use AutoCAD really for our graphic design. And I took some Photoshop classes in high school, and that was it. Try to make a logo, and making logos was like the biggest headache for me.
There is a reason graphic designers exist.
And I'm like
very thankful for them.
I'm like naturally a cheap person. So like the idea of like paying someone to make a logo, I was like, no, I could do it. I could do it myself.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Austin, and we kind of said that we wanted a new logo. And I tried working on a new logo, and I just couldn't think of any good ideas. And like when I tried working on one, I got so stressed out. Mm-hmm. And I even started like writing down like everything I liked about working this podcast and everything I didn't like about working the podcast. And the number one thing was graphic design. And I was like, you know what? I'll pay somebody to do this now.
Yeah. When the number one thing is something that you could easily pay someone to do, that is when you pay someone to do it.
Yeah. So I contacted a friend of mine from high school who lives here in Austin. Mm-hmm. And he is a graphic designer by profession. So I contacted him and he did a fantastic job on the logo. Shout out to Adam Dotson Designs. It was really good. So that's probably the second big lesson I learned about that was that.
Solid lesson learned.
I'm also surprised like how easy it is to get interviews. I think the an advice I give to somebody who's starting a podcast would be if you're doing a guest-based podcast, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask at all. It's people are always willing to talk about like what they love doing.
This is true. I mean, that you're a prime example of that.
What was the other part of the question? There's another thing I had lined up in my head.
I don't know. It wasn't a question. It was more of tell me stuff.
I had
something
in my head.
The worst question I've ever asked someone.
True, Dan.
I'm going to listen to it in the recording and just kind of cringe at my word vomit tell me about everything.
I guess like a little thing that I do like about a show that's kind of like a trademark right now is, well, we ask a question at the end of each of our episodes that's like really hard for our guests because it takes them by surprise, which is if you could be a superhero or had superhuman powers, what would your superhero name be and what would your powers be? And that one always stumps our guests because nobody ever thinks about that. Like you, sometimes like we'll have like a more serious guest and it kind of like makes like a lot more lighthearted at the end. So it's like not always ending in a sad note.
That's a good way to end it.
It's fun that way. And also we started doing this thing recently where we give all of our guests shirts that say certified superhuman on the back.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we're giving our guests gifts so that we could like feel more like prideful on it. Like, hey, we think this is great. Guests only. We need to talk with our graphic designer probably between seasons about doing a design for like non-guests only.
Yeah.
I had a few friends that said like that they want to like support the show and get a shirt. And I was like, well, these are guest only. I'll get back to you later. And I just never really had the time to like sit down and like start thinking about those things with Charlie.
That's because you're busy doing the show.
Yeah.
It's that moment when you take off, when you don't have the show going, that you're able to figure that stuff out a lot of the time.
One big lesson I learned about podcasting is that social media is also a second job that I hate doing.
Yes. It's hard. I mean, it's not complicated, but it is time consuming.
Yeah. I used to take it a lot more seriously, but the ROI was actually kind of bad unless you did paid ads, which is like where they get you.
Yes.
Like it would get good, but I just like spamming Twitter is only so effective. So we kind of cut back on our social media marketing and it definitely is a strength, but I don't want to pay somebody full time to do social media marketing for us yet. So
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
That is, while it is very important, what you pulled back on, you're not seeing a significant drop in, you know, downloads and whatnot, then I wouldn't worry about it too much. You can come back to it and reevaluate later.
Yeah. So we'll probably think about that a lot more between our seasons.
Yeah. That is smart. You've learned a lot.
Yeah, man. It's like having a second job.
I try to tell people that all the time when they want to start a podcast. I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah. Do you know what you're getting into? And I say that in the nicest way because I'm like, I want you to start a show, but I also want you to not start a show and then stop.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know what you were getting yourself into.
There's a lot of knobs to turn to every time you post an episode. Like that's like why between Charlie and I, I'm the one that's responsible for posting all the episodes because like I just know like every single knob we need to turn to get this thing uploaded and everything. Got to do the final cut. You got Explorers XME3. You got to upload it to your hosting service. You got write a description for your blog, which we split the work between us on that one.
Yeah.
Titles are so hard.
Yes, they are. I feel like that is not a strength of mine at all.
We actually just recently pivoted our titles lately. They used to be kind of like fun titles that were like great, but they were bad for searchability.
Yes.
And we're like, okay, we need to focus on searchability right now.
I know.
Because we're still trying to grow. We haven't peaked yet. So we started doing it, something that I kind of feel a little bit dirty doing, but I know it's effective, which is like keyword-based titles. Like we have like three keywords in your title.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it. I like the fun ones a lot more, but these are a lot more effective for Google and iTunes and everything else.
It's more fun for you and the people that already know your show for the titles such as that, you know, the fun ones. But yes, good old SEO is what's going to keep you going. So You win some, you lose some.
An SEO is a completely different skill set that I'm, which we're both still trying to learn.
Yeah.
There's people that get paid to do SEO.
I know. That's literally their job. It's just SEO. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Yeah, it's hard.
Kudos to those people because it is a portion of my job, but certainly a small portion compared to many others out there.
Yeah.
Back to my original wrap-up question. Your show. What? If you have anything else to share, feel free.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to talk about ads.
Yes. I'd say then let's move on to ads.
Okay.
Our last topic is advertisements.
Yeah, something that we don't have on our show. So I only know it as a listener, not as a podcaster.
That's okay, because I know it from the business point, and I have never done ads on this show. So
yeah, so what do you want to talk about in regards to ads?
Okay, so recently we have been trying to improve the mindset for podcasters of being advertiser ready.
Oh, okay.
Because we are trying to encourage people to not only have a great website such as yours that has pertinent information, that has a bio, that it's very obvious what the show does and whatnot. And then, so that's one aspect, the website. And then, you know, do you have a regular schedule? Do you have something set up to where you are reliable in terms of your numbers every month? Also, I know that all podcasters typically do this. Keep track of your numbers. Just something simple. Know what they are and be prepared to talk to them. Give reasons why of what they are. And then something that a lot of people are not doing that we are trying to tell them to do is keep in mind when you are recording where an advertisement could go in the future.
I guess with most podcasts, you should do a front roll and back roll ads.
Yep.
Which I think are, in my opinion, the best way to do it because it doesn't really kill the flow of the show. I know there's some shows like Stuff You Should Know where they have like two or three ad breaks in the middle of it, but I'm forgiving towards them because they're the first podcast I listen to and they're my favorite podcast. So
yeah, we all have that one that we're just going to listen to regardless of what they do to it.
And also my favorite comedy podcast, My Brother and Me. Have you heard that one?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's a comedy show where they answer joking or they answer questions in like a very joking manner. So people like send them like questions for advice and then they do like a bunch of like stupid ideas with it. It's really funny. I think they just recently got back from like a live tour, so they're definitely doing really well.
Yeah. We try to tell people that all the time, that a live read of an advertisement is going to go over so much better with your audience than the one that you just slice in there from the progressive lady with the big hair that I don't care about.
Like Stuff You Should Know does native advertising like that, but they have pre-recorded native ads. So like it just like they do like fade out music and then it's like saying that you've heard like three times before.
Yes.
And then it's fade back in music. It's just like, I don't need to hear this other ads for stamps.com because you've already said this thing before.
Yes.
So I'm going to skip it. Meanwhile, though, my brother and me, they'll advertise a Blue Apron every episode and I'm still finding it funny every single time.
Exactly. Sometimes as much as those advertisements suck, if you have long tail content, meaning people are still regularly listening to your past episodes and not just going to the new ones whenever a new audience member finds you, then those downloads that you're getting later on, you could add an advertisement to your old episodes. And we want you to be prepared for that and actually have a spot of where to put it.
Ah, you could do that?
I mean, if we're talking literally leave like a 2 second moment of silence in between a sentence where it would be an okay break.
Okay.
You know, something that seems natural that you could choose ahead of time instead of going back through your episodes and trying to figure out what would fit well and what would actually be able to, what's not going to break the episode, kind of. So
I never even thought about people playing ads in their past episodes.
Yep, it happens.
I would think like if we were to go back and like keep or at least keep our same format and do ads, we'd probably do it as like a teaser, 30-second ad before the intro music.
Yeah, definitely.
That I think would be the best way. We've done some like small teasers for other small podcasts on our show and we put them in the front because it just seems like a appropriate place to put something like that.
Yeah.
As for like cutting in anywhere else. I don't know if that'd be possible. I guess after the interview would be good before we do the outro stuff.
Yeah.
Because our show's format is occasionally we have a teaser in the front, followed by a music intro where we talk about who the guest is and like why they're important. And we kind of use that moment to kind of like rip off each other and like show the audience like our rapport with each other. Yeah. And then the next like 30 minutes after that is the actual interview, followed by another cut in music to the outro where we talk to, where we do like within like a minute, say everywhere where people can go to follow these people and donate to them.
Yeah.
And then also follow and donate to us as well. And I could see like with our show, you do it in the teaser spot or before the outro spot. I don't want to kill the momentum between the intro and the actual guest.
Right. Because when it was, you know, when you put it out, it wasn't meant for that. So
yeah,
you don't want to manipulate it to the point where it's not enjoyable to listen to anymore.
Are you like pushing towards like a lot of podcasts on the Blueberry podcasting area to like format their shows like this to be a more
not necessarily in a certain format, because you can adapt this idea to any type of format that you have for the most part, unless you're doing, and I don't even know, you probably could, you know, move around this even more, but unless you're doing a live recording, mm-hmm. then you can figure out a way to add this to any type of show format that you have. I mean, you just talked it out and figured out how you could work it for your old episode.
Yeah,
so,
case study.
Yeah. I mean, anyone can figure this out if they have the motivation to, if they have that potential ad money in their face, then a lot of people will figure it out.
I think another thing that people need to think about when they're thinking about ads, actually something that we've been kind of thinking about as well, is the kind of ad you want on your show.
Yes. Yes. Like, know your limits type of thing like that.
You could advertise anything, but you want to get something that's like within your scope.
Yeah.
Our main goal lately is actually to go towards more social enterprises.
Oh, okay.
Or like grant writing nonprofits, people that like have like a big reach and see if they want to advertise on our show.
Yeah.
We actually had and lost a sponsorship opportunity. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. But that happens. It was a good lesson to learn, actually. I'm kind of happy we failed because we kind of realized that this guy like wanted to like know like our entire business model, and we're just kind of like, well, this is like a hobby of ours. It just kind of got somewhat successful. So
yeah,
we don't have a business model, but we're willing to take any kind of funding. And we kind of realized after that, though, like we should probably like make something more structured to pitch to people.
It's one of those moments where you don't realize what you should have until someone is asking for it.
Yeah. And it was great. I took a lot of notes after it. And that's like one thing that we're planning on doing after or during our season break is to like sit down and actually like model out like our plan and like clearly define our goals outside of our iTunes description, like our long-term goals and stuff like that, because that's what you wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a good thing to do, at least for certain advertisers, is to like have like show that you mean business.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is a hobby for you, but you still take it seriously. And the people that want to be on your show and, you know, your audience take it seriously too. So it's all just part of taking the next step.
I think that like our goal is to get this thing to fund itself and just like have like that, we get enough funding that the website, we only have to pay for hosting every year.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like we want to expand a little bit. So we are working slightly towards that. I think
it's okay. It's hard to do it all with a co-host like that.
Yeah.
It's good because you want to have, I mean, it's especially fun when, you know, you're friends, but then it's also good in terms of the workload.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also a great, another piece of advice for aspiring podcasters, do it with a friend because you could take away half the editing workload.
Yes.
Charlie edits an episode and I edit an episode and it just goes back and forth.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. It takes off a lot of the workload.
Yeah, that's true.
That we actually have time to have a life and go to music fests in Australia.
These are all good things. These are all good things.
It's like we could go like a month without recording because we have like 6 episodes in the backlog and we release every 2 weeks. So
you're doing every week now?
No, we do every other week still. Yeah. Because every week would just be too much editing. I know people that do every week and they release a lot of shows, but we believe strongly that our editing is one of our biggest strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the show more succinct.
Yeah.
To the point. And not rambling on like I naturally do.
then stick with your strong points. If you're going to be putting out not as strong episodes, if you were doing them more often, then don't do them.
Mm-hmm.
I fully am behind that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the reason why I do this every 2 weeks. Like, this show is every 2 weeks because it is technically, you know, it's part of my job, but mm-hmm. it's one portion of my job, and I don't have the time to do it every week.
At least you get paid for it.
I know. It's fun.
Yeah. It's I wish, like, I get paid to do podcasting.
It's really amazing. Yeah. I really enjoy that part. The other part of my job is the affiliate coordinator, which we were talking about before, when I assume that you are an affiliate. But that means that, that reminds me that people can use affiliate codes and mention it in their show and essentially have that be like, be a sponsorship in their episode. And it's kind of like a practice run. Potential sponsors can listen to that and hear, this is what their ad copy is going to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very good. You know, we get approached by companies that want to get involved in advertising. And recently we've had more and more coming to us asking for samples of advertisement reads from these shows. And a lot of them, you know, they just haven't done advertising before and they've never had this involved in their episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're telling people, even if you don't put it in your show, maybe have something like that ready. Figure out what your ad copy would be.
That's a great idea.
For whatever company it is that you like. And then you can tell people, or you can share that with them and say, give me info on your company. I can happily do this for you that I have done for this. That's another way.
I like the idea a lot. Because it shows that you're prepared, first of all. It gets you in the right mindset for everything. That's a great idea. I'm going to definitely share this with Charlie after this interview. Mm-hmm.
It's good. I mean, that's a good one to show off your rapport as well, if you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of just where we're at right now, because advertising is revving up dollar-wise in the podcasting industry. That has been happening for a while now. But
it's like the same four companies, it sounds like. I swear it's like BlueApronStamps.com. What's the other one? Squarespace.
Oh, yeah. Those are top tier. Audible.
I often like joke around like that. There's like only five companies I know exist now. I listen to mostly podcasts and I don't have cable.
I know.
I just watch Netflix and YouTube, and I have YouTube Red, so I don't even see ads on there. So the only ads I get are through my podcast.
It's kind of true though. I'm realizing I know less and less about new TV shows on the typical cable networks that are coming out because I don't watch them.
I just
don't have that. And I know, have it for a long time.
Back to the ad topic though.
Mm-hmm.
There are bigger companies that are looking in for like podcasts, as I know of, like Ford advertises on Gimlet shows.
Yeah.
Which was when I first heard that Ford ad, I was like, wow, good for them. Like,
I know.
They were a small podcasting startup and now they have like 90 employees and they got advertisers by Ford. Like, they're doing great.
Yeah, they're doing A-okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to buy a Ford. I have a car.
Yeah.
But still, good for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I mean, you learned about that Ford car.
Yeah. Well, I don't know which car it was, but I learned that Ford advertises on podcast.
Yes. Which is a good enough start for them.
Yeah.
Regardless of the actual companies that are being advertised, more advertising media buyers are getting involved in this.
Media buyers?
The people that are representing Ford. Saying that Ford wants to sponsor this show or something like that.
Yeah. Going back to Gimlet too. Gimlet actually has sponsored content. They have this one show. I forgot what it's called, but it's sponsored by eBay and it's about small business owners. And it's mostly focused on people that start their small business through eBay.
Yep. So I've heard of that one. Yes. Yeah. I can't remember what it is, but I definitely remember the eBay thing.
I actually listened to a few episodes. He's like, I'm fascinated with like starting my own business. And I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And it didn't feel like a paid ad. Like, yeah, I knew it was like a sponsored show, but like the host and the production like felt like an actual podcast that just so happened to be sponsored by eBay for the entire thing.
Because it makes sense.
I think that's a great idea too. It's like having like a sponsored episode.
Yes.
We actually plan on like drafting out the idea too. If we could get this reply all style episode to work out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
We're for that episode. The idea of like doing a sponsored style episode like within that format.
Yeah.
For people that want to pay money. And then I just continue doing the other part of the show for free. But that's like so far in the future. And I don't even know how well this episode is going to turn out. It might be complete crap. But if it works out, we think that might be a good alternative to like ad rolls, just like a sponsored episode instead.
Yeah. And you know, you could definitely do that too. And you could do this easily. I feel like reach out to companies in the Austin area and say, reach out to them and say, we'll sponsor, we'll talk about your restaurant if you sponsor this episode.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way for a very locally based podcast like ours.
Yeah.
But then you got like a bunch of movie podcasts out there. They could take Squarespace. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They could take Squarespace.
You. Now,
if everyone has like a local taco shop in their hometown, people would be like, what?
Exactly. But since you have a mainly Austin audience and you're talking about your community there, tell them about the brewery down the street.
Like that, yeah.
That just makes sense.
I'm all for.
Yes.
Although Charlie doesn't drink, so I guess I'll just do that ad.
He can do a different one.
Yeah.
About...
He can do a coffee shop or something like that.
Yes. Can do a coffee shop. See? Super easy. Okay, so we've gone around a lot of different topics, but to wrap up this episode, we talked about government agencies getting involved in podcasting, everyday superhumans with Kyle Smith, our lovely guest.
And Charlie Hilton, who cannot be here.
Yes.
Or is not here.
Thank you for including him. And this last segment was advertising and how to prepare for that in kind of different ways than a lot of people have considered in the past. Kyle, thanks for being on the show and talking with me about everything.
Yeah, this is the longest interview I've ever been a part of, or I guess records as I'm recording part about my computer.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's like we just met at a coffee shop and just started talking.
This is true. I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I like it. Good conversation. I like that style.
Good. Yeah. So good episode all around. Thank you so much for being on. And everyone, thanks for listening to the show. New episode in 2 weeks.